This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, June 16th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we can talk about the march towards independence, which should we be expecting, which should be demanding of our government. I want you to participate in this, you know. I want you to basically explain how do you envision the Bahamas? How do we get there? How do we have a national outlook? I know we're supposed to be talking about this national plan for a while. I mean, this government said they plan to re-implement a national plan that the Perry Christie administration had started. I'm not sure where we are with it, right? We talk about it, we get excited, and then stop. But there's some things that we should be doing, right? Some things that we should be constantly talking about, right? Like, how do you envision our tourism product? What should we be selling? How do you envision Bay Street? How do we envision the gated communities? Because they're popping up like crazy. How do you envision the family island, right? The islands, family islands in general. Like, what is the basic necessity that they should have, right? Like, you go on a family island and, of course, you should have a small hospital. I'm trying to get the right wording, because clinic and hospital are two different things, but like a mini hospital that basic surgeries. I remember when I went to Long Island and I wanted to jump from that that cliff at the Dean's Blue Hole, and my host said, no, our clinic closed for the holiday, because I was on during that holiday weekend. Don't jump from there just in case you get injured and we got to fly you back to Nassau and the plane ain't coming. And say, okay, no, let me hold off on that. But surely there should be a mini hospital on every major family island, 25 of them, right? Surely every major island should have ambulances, a fire trucks, right? Personnel to man these things, or a plan to how these things operate. Every island should have local government, right? Access to some kind of post-secondary education. It doesn't have to be a college, but some kind of institution there that the residents can plug themselves into. Say, well, this is what we should be doing. So that will lead me into my topic for the day. What institutions or what governments are doing around the world that we don't seem to be doing. Right? And I'm going to highlight one particular thing, because I'm going to be prodding at University of the Bahamas, because they have this big masterclass coming up soon. And I actually have a guest coming on for that. But I want to prod on, what is their intent? What is the purpose? But before that, I want to read this, right? Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama and Colombia, Curacao and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas. Downstairs, that box is full. I mean, people coming like crazy every day. Someone coming in with loads and loads of strips of papers to participate. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa is required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian, which most of the people are doing now, and bring it and put it in that box, which is downstairs. Listen to Star 106.5. We may have to bring someone in to drum up the excitement about this this competition. You know, talk more about this. Well, like, talk about this cruise exactly, right?
We should have a whole crew show with people talking about their experiences. I like that too. What they would improve if they were in charge and what elements they think should be added to.
Especially stopping here on New Providence, like what has been said. Yeah. We had a cruise visitor just complaining the other day. So we need to talk about our Bay Street product via cruise transport. Yeah, that sounds like a good show. We do that soon, especially during the summer, because people go on a cruise during the summer. So follow us on Facebook and Instagram or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27. The drawing is July 4th, which is T-shirt day? What did you call that? Flag day?
What about U.S. Independence.
No. It's a Bohemian thing. What do we call that?
I can be honest with you. I don't follow that.
What do you mean you don't follow
that? I don't follow it.
I mean, everyone is wearing a T-shirt.
There are number, like, the origin of Flag Day, right? Like, in the U.S. is a specific origin of Flag Day.
Flag Day is July 4th.
Yeah, no.
No?
I mean, they said the politicians, they do all kinds of things for all kinds of reasons. Yeah. There are lots of things that politicians are not supposed to do. And one of them is create your cultural calendar. Mm. The politicians don't do that. The cultural stakeholders do that.
You don't want to participate on Flag Day? July 4th?
July 10th.
It's Independence Day.
That's when I wave my flag higher than normal on July 10th.
Yeah.
That's my flag day. Now, if we were going to have a flag day, it would be the day that the flag was created. It would be to honor the creation of the flag.
So don't tie it into July 4th.
No, but what is July 4th? Was that the day that our flag was created?
I don't know. Why
would you do flag day on U.S. independence?
To have them celebrate our flag day. While you're all there with your flag, be here celebrating our flag day. And come and eat our conch salad and our pineapple tart on flag day, July 4th, every year for the past 15 years.
You know the old West Indians, what they call it?
What did they say?
A federation.
A federation.
Yeah.
You call it, say, we're the federation?
It's a madness. It's a gaggle of foolishness.
So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. And you and three loved ones sailing the high seas on vacation, cruise of a lifetime, brought to you by Guardian Media Group. And Going Places Travel, of course, certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities are not included. And I want to read this because I'm going to go straight into my topic, right? Of course, it's a public traffic advisory notice, temporary road closure to traffic. I didn't realize that when you read it last time, that's a temporary road closure. So it's not just avoiding this area, right, as we traverse. It's road closure. When the convoy is started, that road closed. Go find an alternative route. And so the general public is advised that on Monday, that's today, June 16th, 2025, starting at 9 p.m., that's tonight, BTL will be transporting an engine via trailer convoy from Awaki Port to the BPL Clifton Pier site. The estimated time for the convoy to depart Awaki Clifton Pier is approximately 4 hours. So this is a four-hour journey. And this 4 hours based on their speed limit, the weight of the car, and how long the distance is. It doesn't consider traffic or whatever it is. It's just how long the distance is. It's a four-hour journey of riding, right? Give or take. Motorists are advised to avoid the routes for a brief period as follows, say, West Bay Street, between the Fish Fry and Sanders Beach roundabout. I won't be there around 10 o'clock. New Providence Highway between Sanders Beach roundabout and the Six Leg roundabout. I might be there during that time. John F. Kennedy Drive from the Six Leg roundabout at University Drive to Gladstone Road. That's possible too. And John F. Kennedy Drive from Gladstone Road roundabout to Blake Road. Yep, that could be there too. John F. Kennedy Drive from Blake Road to the airport roundabout. I can overtake on that road.
No, don't.
That's a big wide road.
No. The whole point of the notice is so you're prepared to wait and be patient.
I can't go around him?
No, don't go around him. You know,
the trailer big and broad.
You know, in the United States of America, whenever a school bus stops to let off children, the drivers are required to stop. They can't overtake, even if the bus is pulled to the side.
Guess how I learned that?
It's just...
the bus stop. Let me go around them. That was not a smart move.
No.
Yeah, they take that serious.
No. We know the children don't have all their senses at that age. They're still developing them, so we do whatever is required to protect them.
Yeah.
In other places, not necessarily here, but we believe in it.
So it goes to Windsor Field Road, and then go to Western Road, and Western Road again from Nelson Road to Clifton Pier. And they give the time of how long, how slow the truck will be driving during that time. You know, 39 minutes, 27 minutes, mm-hmm. know, stuff like that. So motorists are being urged to plan ahead and use alternate routes. Is there another route for that Western Road?
Yeah, right. Okay. They didn't say Frank Watson Boulevard to get to... No. They didn't mention that, right? So but I guess you could use that route.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be easier just to stay behind the truck.
Well, no, because they go in north, you'd have to go south yeah. and then come up around the other side.
Overtake them, man.
No.
No.
Don't overtake them. And plan like, your route.
And more like police will be escorting them, so I can't overtake.
Well, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that police will be assigned to patrol the general route, right? And they move along with the vehicle so that they could advise any motorists that are unaware, right? Because you're going to have tons of motorists who are unaware of what's happening, mm-hmm. and their job is to advise those motorists and stop them if necessary, right? Like if the police talk to them and they say, I don't care, and they go and they overtake anyway, then you go and you pull them over because you had a warning.
Yes. So I'll start my program today. March was independence of what we're supposed to be doing, right? On Thursday, I have some guests coming in who's going to talk about their masterclass. What are they going to be talking about, Aaron? Ian Strawn coming in.
Oh, Future of Democracy.
Future
four.
Of Democracy. Yeah. Yeah, fourth edition.
Let me just say, I'm excited. I have spoken at the three Future of Democracy 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And I may be short on the deadline. I push in my abstract in Ian Strawn hat.
Yes. I'm going to use that juxtaposed to say, make it all make sense, right? The narrative, what's the purpose, objective of all of these things, right? And so we need more behemoths to be in attendance, to challenge, to ask questions, to embrace the information. But what I'm talking about today is, because I started to Google, and I want to talk about U.S. facts, that I noticed that something that the Americans do, mm-hmm. that we are not doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And in terms of investing in education and directing the climate in terms of purpose, direction, the country's going in 2023. That's the last statistics. Right. The federal government provided nearly $60 billion to support research and development efforts at universities
in the U.S.
in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I want to know, do you know whether our government give grants to the University of the Bahamas to do particular research for the development of the Bahamas? And that's what my conversation is going to be about today. The purpose of University of the Bahamas, what we should be demanding, expecting of the University of the Bahamas. Are they producing any research paper that can promote business, promote development, promote us as a country to say, this is where we stand? And I downloaded some information because I want you to read. So listen, audience, who is not aware of what I'm trying to say, to appreciate and understand the conversation I'm trying to get towards, so they can participate in terms of what our government should be demanding of the University of the Bahamas. They might be doing it. I just don't know, right? And what should we be expecting moving forward, we're starting from today, right? Especially as we march towards independence, especially juxtaposed to the national plan that we were working on from God knows how long.
National Development Plan?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been working on, like, every so often we hear it again. The constant words, but then we don't see it, right? The government just mentioned the National Development Plan recently. But again, it's not a consistent conversation. So I want you to read that fact, so people can appreciate that the U.S. government puts money aside, look for their top universities and say, this is what I want you to do, and this is what those universities has come up with. The schools now. This is not no private institution or business doing this. This is a school whose job it is, because they get grants from the government, right, whose job is to develop concepts and ideas and new development for the benefit of the country. I'm saying University of the Bahamas is supposed to be doing the same thing for us. And I'm asking, anyone knows if the University of the Bahamas is doing that, And if they're not, we need to put fire underneath their shoes and say, man, you all need to do better. So yeah, read my list for me, please, Erin.
Here are 20 notable inventions that emerged from federally funded university research in the United States. One, Internet, ARPANET, developed with funding from the U.S. Department of Defense and universities like UCLA and Stanford.
Now, pause it because I need people to understand what does that mean. The Internet itself was developed within a university, the concept, right? They use UCLA personnel and staff and students right there, right? And said, the government said, you know what? We're going to give you a couple of millions of dollars, right? I want you to come up with a concept. And that concept, what they came up with and concluded was the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? And it's only the University of the Bahamas I'm talking about. It's the only big university we have here. Is our government giving the University of the Bahamas to say, come up with a Bahamian Internet concept? All your technology, talk about the way they want to have a hub in Grand Bahama, right? Was any money given to the University of the Bahamas to say, you hash that out. You develop that. Go ahead, Erin.
Two, Google search algorithm, created by Larry Page and Sergey Brin at Stanford University with NSF funding.
See, I use Google. The world uses Google to search for things.
A lot of Bahamian don't government search. Entities don't use Google. Yeah. You know, like you're supposed to optimize your thing, yeah. So when you put it in, it'll come up.
Yeah, but they don't know how to use it.
They don't do it.
But see, my point is, Google is an everyday tool. It's something just people have. But the government of the United States give money to a school and say, man, we have an idea. These are the people that have the idea. And the school itself created Google. And now everybody is using Google. What is our government given to UB to say, I want you to develop a tourism app concept? Just an app. I don't understand whatever it is. But an app where tourists can be used. Right now, we've been talking about this. What that thing you use advertising for about a year? The money thing on the phone.
Sand dollar.
You're telling me
Bahamian
that...
Bahamian digital dollar.
Our government couldn't charge UB to find a concept that easier or make Bahamians more palatable. They say, man, I'm using sand dollar from now on, man. Right? Surely our university could do that. I'm not a smart man. But we need to use our University of the Bahamas to do more because we're still using sand dollar. Right? All that advertisement, I know you might get that counter. All that advertisement we're doing and promoting to get the use of sand dollar, especially on the family island. Right? We telling me we cannot get the University of the Bahamas to say, hey, these people ain't being convinced fast enough. But we need you to come up with a concept for Long Island where by the end of the year, everybody on Long Island using the sand dollar. Do whatever research and computer tech and whatever app, have the entire island app-wise connected, right? So this is what the conversation is about. Mm-hmm. United States government is giving money to their university and say, bill it, whatever it is, and bring that concept right and let's make it go global. Give me the next one.
CRISPR, CRISPR, Cas9 gene editing, pioneered by Jennifer Doudna at UC Berkeley with NIH support.
And what are NIH is again?
Maybe National Institute of Health.
Yeah, it could be. And I'm not, I mean, I have no time for that. But I'm not sure what this particular app is, right?
Oh, this is a big shot one.
You know about that one?
Gene editing.
Gene editing.
Yeah, that's when they...
So that is health.
So yeah, so you have parents that both have pre-existing conditions that may result in a devastating condition for the child, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you go in and you actually edit the DNA and you try to eradicate that condition by what they're gonna say fixing the DNA, but you're changing it, you're editing it. Yeah, essentially.
One of my concerns.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But they be talking all kinds of wild sci-fi, like they're making new animals and making new beings with this gene editing.
One of my concerns was we didn't use COVID, the emergency of COVID in terms of the research, right? Research on mental health and in the Bahamas?
Oh, yeah, let me just rephrase that for you. The government is derelict in its duty, and if there's anything that they should be held for, like if we ever consider like what is an act of treason, the complete disregard for the psychological and emotional well-being of Bahamians post-Dorian and COVID, and during and post-COVID, that's it right there.
And this is my concern with a conversation where we need to put their feet to the fire in terms of what our government should be doing, especially partnering with the University of the Bahamas, right? You mentioned Dorian and the mental health there. Some people claim that we fixed the immigration problem after Dorian in Abaco. It was solved. There was an immigration problem. But surely we knew, the public knew, that the immigration problem would have continued, persisted, or reignited again. No one engaged UB and say, we have a project for you, right? We have a migrant issue here. What come up with, and I know C. Allen called earlier and mentioned the national ID. You tell me that Abaco couldn't implement a national ID during or post Dorian, that everyone on that island could be a pilot program, right? Everybody on that island would have a national identification program, and that ID could have had a list of benefits and say, okay, this is working, then we could actually use this to duplicate on other family islands. Nobody engaged.
I talked about it repeatedly. Mm-hmm. When we talk about Dorian matters, when we talk about immigration matters, when we talk about shantytown matters, when we talk about labor matters, we made the point, surely post-Dorian, as a matter of national security, you would have implemented, if anything, a temporary ID program for people entering and exiting Abaco. Like I thought that was a given. And the increased inter-island migration, because so many people were displaced from Abaco, it should have been a broader project. Not necessarily, right? Like, we're not just fishing out, we want to know who all the Haitians are and we're gonna round them up. But you had a major issue where, in one instance, a mother had to get assistance from our government to go to the States to retrieve her child from U.S. federal custody, because the manner in which she was removed from Abaco concerned the U.S. federal authorities, right? This is a matter of protecting Bahamians.
Let me ask you this question. Recently, the Minister of Education said they're going to implement school IDs. Mm-hmm. The ID itself, of any biometric information, did they mention that this ID will have their national insurance number? This ID will have their passport information. This ID will have information on them that we can put in the computer. Or this is just one of those IDs that you just print out and say, yeah, I see who that is.
There's not a lot of technical detail in that story. Hannah Martin announced a school ID system designed to control access, right? And first of all, it says a student identification card system designed to restrict school access exclusively to authorized individuals.
So that's the guidelines right there.
Yeah, but hold on. Like, let's look at the recent incident, right? Okay. Where a reserve police officer was found on campus having administered corporal punishment to two students. And the administration said this boy was here on unrelated business. The person in the ministry responsible for school resource officers said, thank God it wasn't one of our school resource officers, right? How is a student identification card system going to prevent, going to restrict school access exclusively to authorized individuals? Right? It said these protocols will ensure that only individuals authorized by school executives will be allowed entry to quote unquote sterile zones, she said.
What about parents? Okay. Can parents come on campus?
Not without proper authorization. Right. You could come on campus, but there's certain areas you can't access without authorization.
The whole campus is a big open area. I mean, if I'm coming to on campus, can I walk to a classroom or the classroom is separate from off-campus?
Well, listen, the whole between the security guards and they have cameras up at schools?
They're supposed to have cameras, right?
Between the security guards and the people who are responsible for monitoring the cameras, you're supposed to be able to identify when anybody is off the path.
I'm not sure if they have people monitoring the campus or just they just doing that. What's the circuit TV?
Just recording it. And nobody's actually monitoring it real time because there's students involved. It only takes 3 seconds to snatch a student and disappear them.
So a separate department.
Anyway, back to one of your earlier questions. Mm-hmm. The minister said the ID cards will include critical personal and academic information about each student, adding that such measures are now essential. That's it. They didn't talk about biometrics. But here's my thing. How does a student identification card system prevent rogue actors or adults from accessing the school and then entering zones they're not supposed to be in? And you're gonna retrain people? Because I could understand why a security guard like could watch a police officer walk to a classroom and like maybe walk from administration to a classroom or something, like big, right? Because you's the chief, I's just a junior in regards to that. But what about the adults? The larger concern, we got one concern with students from other schools entering campus. We got a concern about students who have been suspended or expelled attempting to re-enter the campus when they're not authorized to be there, right? But what about adults who are entering these campuses and doing whatever they want?
That's something to further up and ask more questions. But let's continue with the list there.
All right. Good.
In general.
But like I said, I don't know if it's going to have biometrics on it.
Mm-hmm. But they say some information about school academics. I'm not sure. Is there a need to have the card to have the ACT numbers?
Well, if it's
or just have you type in the name and the student number.
If it has all that information on it, then surely it's like an electronic card, like the passport. It's machine readable.
Yeah.
So you put it in, you know, like an ATM, you slip it in the machine, and there's a whole bunch of information stored on the card, right? And then just basic information.
So who would have the machine? Does administration, the security, teachers?
Is it? Who would have it? Is it Ministry of Education? Yeah. Like, how will it work?
Do Ministry of Education need to have that information?
Yeah.
Say, oh, by the way, that's John Doe. And he goes to City Hall Walker, and he's have a 3.2 grade point average, right? Gets suspended once or twice. Well, that's for the police. Let's go finish the list.
But
just question.
Why would you say something so exciting to such an excitable person?
Nobody asked.
And not expect excitement.
Nobody asked.
What would the police need warrant to access certain investigations? You telling me
they're giving us police?
Okay, because this is the story that I'm concerned about. The story where the young boy was beaten by a reserve officer.
What was the conclusion?
We don't know.
The cop didn't come back and explain.
Ministry
of Education people come back and explain?
The last time I did follow up on the story, there was no explanation.
How long has it been now?
It's been several months. Yeah. Since I did follow up, it's been about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, so that's dead.
No, it's not dead, man.
You expect information from the minister? Go ahead, that dead.
Well, I didn't say I expected information.
You expect information from the COP?
I didn't say I expected information.
Yeah, that dead.
It's not dead, it's a child.
Yeah.
No, think about it. This is an important...
The mother even come back and say what happened.
No, the mother was involved. There was a follow-up. It's just been months since the last follow-up, since I've seen a follow-up is what I'm saying. But what I'm saying to you, Nuri, this is an important... You telling me that just because somebody could put on a police uniform, they could access campus, access students, and beat them with no recourse?
Yeah.
You see the story coming out of Minnesota this weekend?
Go ahead.
Four people were shot, two of them died, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Two Democratic senators, the state of Minnesota, or lawmakers from the state of Minnesota, were killed by a person who initial reports said was dressed like a police officer.
Let's go down this. Continue.
All right, sorry. MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, advanced by researchers at institutions like the University of Nottingham and further developed in U.S. universities with NIH funding.
In a place where we have a lot of non-communicable diseases, one would assume that our government partner with the university to say, hey, you're monitored these. At least have some statistics, right? At least have some statistics that we can get access to quickly. Mm-hmm. Finish with the list.
Gatorade, invented at the University of Florida.
Who would have thought that athletes. Gatorade came from a school? Can't we make our own Gatorade?
We can.
We live in a hot area. You're trying to say all those Cersei and whatever it is, we have no
school. We don't have to make it.
But we...
It exists.
But my point is...
All we have to do is go up in the trees and harvest them.
Yeah, but we need the research. Surely our government
to fund...
The
research has been done.
What research you have on Cersei?
On coconut water.
Oh, well, yeah. But I'm trying to say we can make a new thing.
Like
how we have Gatorade. That Gatorade was made. What was Gatorade made for? Why did the school make
it? Made for athletes to rehydrate them.
Yeah. You're trying to say that we have a big sporting program and our government cannot partner with the school and say, hey, we need a bohemian concept with coconut water and we're going to make a hydrate type concept.
Can't even get the Ministry of Tourism to do it.
So this is what I'm trying to push for. Oh, yeah. Our government needs to do more for the University of the Bahamas.
This is next on the list. HPV vaccine developed by researchers at the University of Rochester, Georgetown University, and the University of Queensland with NIH grants.
Now, NIH, our National Insurance Board, NIB, tend to spend money all over the place. We buy buildings, dilapidated buildings, and let them get more dilapidated. We have like 10 to 20 dilapidated buildings that NIB purchase. You're trying to say NIB cannot invest into UB in terms of we need a new concept moving forward, right? One would have thought that this is what they should be using their money for. How do we convince our government to say, hey, let's start using our...
There'd be a statutory issue there that the NIB may be restricted to investing in investing in only things that generate a return.
Like the dilapidated buildings?
An immediate
return. The dilapidated buildings we buy?
They're going to generate a return.
We have to bulldoze them down.
You and I may not be alive when it's realized. Yeah. You and I may not be, but we'll be alive, but we'll be at home watching ZNS.
Imagine if we had created some kind of HPV vaccine from our medical program we have here. The nurses have saying. Some new procedure on how they service, right? How would that benefit the Caribbean, benefit the Bahamas? We said we don't use our resources to make Bahamians come first. And this is what my concern is.
Okay, so, I mean, I think this is another conversation, but I think it may be about, like, this is a return on investment, right? And are people going to... invest in an idea that cannot immediately be scaled up to industrial manufacturing proportions.
Yeah, right? We've been doing that for decades.
I think that our government may have determined that we are too small, anything of real significance in the world.
But we need to implement programs to benefit and catapult us to the 21st century in terms of at least procedures, mechanisms.
See, pause. Watch this. The way it works is that you produce what you're good at, and what you're good at is normally what you do where you are,
mm-hmm.
right? That's it. Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? What can we create, right? And what do we do? We should be creating models. I feel this idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the university to invest, for people to invest into the university, right? This is what I thought the sustainability, whatever... space at the university was going to be doing, because this idea I've been talking about for over 20 years, easily for over 20 years. The Bahamas should be building models for other countries, other small island developing states.
Mm-hmm.
You have a problem, bring it here. We'll figure out a solution, a model for you that can also be applied to other similar small island developing states.
Funded by the government.
What are we good? What do we do? What are we good at? Where are we? What's our location? Who are we? We are water people. We are boat people. They are oceans, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the spaces that we should be investing in sustainable, not sustainable tourism. Try that aside, but sustainable building techniques, in combining contemporary and indigenous building techniques for a more sustainable product for Bahamians moving forward. Building boats, sailing the ocean, diving in the water and catching things. These are the things that we should be, that this is the space in which we should be developing ideas. I just want an intersection, right? I really appreciate this conversation. Can we claim Deep Science Ventures, you know, Dr. Thane Campbell, can we claim that as our own because a Bahamian is on it? And is that a more suitable model for the idea that you have?
We could even partner with them. We're not doing that. Right. My thing is, we have an inter-island transportation problem.
Yeah.
Right? And we are waiting for someone to come and save us to say, okay,
no, we not. No, we're not. It's a plantation, and they like it. They like it just, hold on, they like it just the way it is, and at the risk of enraging all of these by them who already acting like despots and dictators because they have their own personal empire, because the government has given them a mailboat route, and they become the kings of the islands. Right?
But imagine if
at the risk of running all of them
UB and created a system where we can move between the islands quicker, more efficient, that within half an hour, within 45 minutes, I can make it to a Miguana. That means I can work in Miguana.
You mean as opposed to 2 days on the mailboat?
Yeah, but as opposed to 2 days on the mailboat or the expensive plane ride where they go once a week, twice a week. I could go back and forth. That idea could be hashed out by the University of the Bahamas.
And here's why it's needed. Let's put the urgency on it. Y'all don't even care whether the runways have lights or not. Mm. Pardon me. Y'all don't care about the lives of these people on these family islands.
Yeah. Let's continue.
The least you could do is make inter-island marine transportation faster.
Let's continue to read. What else?
Google Earth keyhole technology originated at Stanford with DARPA and CIA seed funding.
Who would have thought that Google Earth came from a university? That somebody at a school was working on this and then the United States government embraced it and said, okay, we can use this nationally. What ideas is UB doing that our government say, well, what's that program that Shivago Lang manages at University of the Bahamas?
The Policy Institute?
At least we have that. It's something to be proud of. But what policies are coming out of it that we say, hey, this came out of University of the Bahamas? I'm sure it exists now. But this came out of University of the Bahamas, and now we have implemented it, right? That our government tend to brag about, what that striping company name again? That they have...
Hold on, you mean the young man that got the self-starter grant?
Yes.
Even though his uncle was running the same company? Is doing the same thing? That boy? Oh, you mean Bahamas Group, Striping Group of Companies. That's the one you meant. That's the one. That's the one you mean.
Look where you're going. Okay, we have a caller here. Producer, get that caller ready. Prep that caller for me. This text says, Mr. Nuri, find a better project other than Sand Dollar. Can't withdraw and send the same day. Not good for business on the island. Mr. Nuri, find a better
What do you mean can't withdraw and send? You mean can't withdraw cash and send, like add cash to your account and withdraw cash?
That's what the call is
from
saying.
The Texas saying,
yeah. I'm sure you could deposit in the money ready. I mean, I've used not Sand Dollar, but the other medium. And I got access to my money right away.
No, pause. You may have used one of the multiple apps.
One of those things.
It's one currency. It's the Bahamian dollar. Digital. So it's not like it's a different dollar or if it's a different currency. It's your same B dollar, but in a digital format, right? And so that's one part of it. Sand dollar is the currency, and then you have about seven, what they call AFIs, or you have seven companies that offer a platform for you to spend and collect and receive sand dollars on.
Let's go to this call as we continue to read our list of where government in the United States, the government of the United States has partnered with universities. And we're asking how come we can't do the same to have University of the Bahamas do some innovation where the whole Bahamas benefits from their innovation, right? Where the government give them grants, say, do the research on that. And it don't have to be innovational. Just do the research on it, that we have data that we could be using on what's happening to the Bahamas that we all benefit. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Yes, good morning to both of you. Just let me just say one thing first. Do you know that I was doing some research last week, and I went to, I'm trying to remember the name of this of the gentleman, but I went to Stanford University doing some research. They have some data on us, and just like a number of universities have some data in their repository about us. But in 1997, there was a gentleman that spoke here at a conference that did an analysis of the way the Bahamas is lagging behind the rest of the world in national development. But what happened is that he spoke about the need for the Bahamas to accelerate into adopting and preparing for the 21st century. And believe it or not, that was 4 years before that actually happened. And to date, if you I was trying to pull it up just now, but to date, if we don't do it, we would be even further behind. And it's amazing that to date we have yet to start that. But you asked about the university. First thing what you have to have is you have to have a national vision. And I wish you guys would start talking about the National Development Plan. It's a compilation of a book of ideas, as more so than the National Development Plan, because it doesn't address the how, what, when, all those different things. And a plan or is something you can actually follow, not a thing saying we could do this and we could do that and we can do this and we could do whatever. It's a comprehensive blueprint that even a blind man could follow. Now, when you talk about the University of Bahamas, it requires the understanding of what vision and what development is. An individual who has the vision is not necessarily the person that leads the vision, nor are they the person that builds the vision. And so we need a national vision for our university. We need a behemoth to head that vision who has the competence to bring together a group of teams of individuals to build that. And then you would be in such an attractive way that you have people who would endow certain chairs and certain positions or whatever it is at the university status. And so I'm somewhat familiar with it because when I attended Florida Memorial College, we were almost 20 years in the process of moving to what's now called Florida Memorial University. And there's a process to understand the difference between college and university. College transfer information, university creates. And so you just can't put a name on it and call it a university. You must have to be in the process of creating new knowledge, new information. And so when you look at all of the different things from GIS and even robotic surgery, people don't even know TELSA is a university study sponsored by the government that TELSA used to create TELSA in 2016, I think.
You mean Tesla?
And so, yeah, TELSA, yeah, mm-hmm. that Elon Musk does. Mm-hmm. They did the first the testing of it and eventually took it over the whole thing. It wasn't necessarily him that started it, but some two other individuals started it. He came in as an investor and eventually it's supposed to be the person who died, whatever. But it's a lot of things that we can do. And we have a unique geographical location. We're part of the ocean economy, which is the largest economy in the world. But the problem is that we need to leadership and understand that we are in the 21st century and understand these different economic models beyond politics colors. And you know what team I'm on, so hey, I'm ready to do it. Thanks. Me and others.
Thank you very much, Ciel. We're going to take this quick break. This question on the text says, what about the policy thing Mr. Lang runs? What real benefit does it serve? How can Lang be in charge when he is for banks and private interests? Make it make sense? We'll answer that when we come back. Guardian Radio AM, we'll be right back.
What happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I ain't...
need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the crack from Bahamas and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
you try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guiding Radio AM. This texter says, this is the message I tried to relay to SBDC years ago. We have wasted a decade giving grants for hair and nails. Don't get me wrong. There's a place. Where is that now? But you cannot speak out about fostering innovation, then give the innovators a small loan and ask for the repayment to begin in 3 months after the threats of under threat of litigation and siege of intellectual property. Innovation takes risk and a financial commitment largely from government. They should also stay away from young people PR nonsense. Innovation doesn't have an age, sex, or skin color. It has an analytical brain that shows signs of innovative capacity. That's an interesting critique. Let's read about another concept that the government of the United States sponsored a college, university, to that developed that is now global, that we in the Bahamas, our government should be doing the same thing in terms of investing in UB to do research and development. And that's a key word, research, and then the development of it. Fevergrass, how come we don't have a fevergrass hydrate concept?
I can tell you why. I can tell you why right now. Because Bahamians prefer to refer to it as lemongrass because they want to feel like they as good as foreigners. They want to be fancy, right? Not understanding that they're already fancy in their own right. The reason why is because we want to call it lemongrass like the Europeans, when really we know it as fevergrass because that's what we know it as, a treatment for fever. Mm-hmm. And that's why, Mr. Newey.
But would a UB research and development project, we could create a product that can be marketed as that.
No, pause it, because I can show you what the problem is. The problem isn't that we don't know about it. The problem isn't that we don't know it exists or what its properties are. And that research has been done for decades, Nuri, if not a couple hundred years easily, right? The problem is a cultural issue where we don't see value in it. Mm. We only see value in it when we call it lemongrass.
We have any drink product that we export? I mean, I know there's the Bears, Click, and Sands. And then
I think we could only call Sands because Click isn't
really
Bahamian.
Okay.
Anymore.
It's Sands then. Other than Sands.
So we have Barilla. I don't know.
What's a Barilla?
Okay, you know what Cascarilla is?
Yes.
So we have a liqueur produced from Cascarilla called Barilla.
As big as Campari? Because I know what Campari
is. Not yet. Not quite yet. As good as, yeah. Yeah.
Where can I buy it in the United States?
I said I just about to finish my sentence.
Highly reading.
Amaro is the second Cascarilla-based product, mm-hmm. liqueur, and they, I think, are available in the U.S. because they come in out of Bristol or Premier Cru.
That's Bahamian one?
The product itself is, I think, Bahamian developed, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's another Cascarilla liqueur.
Yeah. I'm thinking like how Jamaica have Ting, that grapefruit bad tasting thing. Right? That they can export that.
Producer, it ain't time to cut the show.
They can export that.
Brother, those are fighting words. What's wrong with you?
Well, you taste that?
I love it from Isaac Chirin. I love Ting. Something wrong with you. You don't understand a Ting, buddy.
This text said, my advisor at college told my class that he was named on the patent for the ATM, a device which also came out of a university research project. The doctoral and master's students around me were all working on the research. Their only requirement was to think of something new to solve a problem.
Okay, so pause. Is another interesting point. I know your approach, right? Where you're saying, look, what could happen if we fund these universities?
Yeah, they also mentioned blockchain. It came from a university also.
That's what the problem is. We don't have the type of academic or education system they have over there in the U.S.
Man.
We have what is known as a plantation model academic system. You heard what the person said? Hold on. What did the person say? Read it again. They say their job was is to think of new things?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what academia is supposed to be like. That's what university is supposed to be like. That's what education is supposed to be like. But here on the plantation, it is decidedly different. Next on the list, touchscreen technology advanced at the University of Delaware and Carnegie Mellon University. Statins, cholesterol-lowering drugs developed with university-based research supported by NIH. Post-it notes and adhesive technology originated at the University of Minnesota with federal support. You know when I say stick a pin?
Mm-hmm.
That's adhesive technology. OLED displays researched at Princeton University with funding. Bionic limbs developed at MIT and other universities with DARPA, that's D-A-R-P-A, and VA,
mm-hmm.
that's Veterans Affairs,
yeah. mm-hmm.
funding. DNA sequencing techniques innovated at Caltech and other universities with federal research grants. Speech recognition software advanced at Carnegie Mellon University with DARPA funding. Lyrica, neuropathic pain drug based on research at Northwestern University funded by NIH. Rocket Fuel Innovations, hydrocarbon fuels developed at Purdue University with NASA and DOD grants. See, Eddie Minnis could have worked on that because Granny was flying long time.
Mm-hmm.
Solar cell efficiency advances researched at MIT and Stanford using NSF and DOE support. I think that's Department of Energy, eh?
Surely we should have some kind of hurricane study here.
This is what I was saying earlier, Nuri. Mm-hmm. The things that we experience, the building techniques, building resilient homes, combining indigenous technique and contemporary technology, right, to prepare Bahamians for the future and an advancing hurricane intensity in seasons. You know, like on the island, you find some houses, they're made of wood. And they like slats, and you could turn the slats so when the storm comes, the wind just blows straight through the structure don't blow it down. Kevlar application in body armor tested and enhanced in collaboration with university labs. Recombinant DNA technology pioneered at Stanford and UCSF under NIH and NSF funding. Barcodes and scanning technology initially developed by graduate students at Drexel and MIT. These inventions reflect how federal investments in university research have translated into real-world technologies and products across medicine, computing, energy, and communication. Let me know if you'd like a deep dive on any of these. That's a note there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I wanted to have this discussion, right? Because moving towards our independence, what is it, 52 years now? 52 or 3? 50. How many?
This year.
This year is what, 52?
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 and 2. Or I don't know how they do design this year. And hopefully we'll even have some data.
For free. They can do the design for free.
No, but that thing is free. Someone can make some money off that. I'm just saying that as we march towards our goals and see how the world marks our manner, we need to be more purposeful, right? Can't be by chance.
No, they're very purposeful.
Yeah, no, they can't. This isn't purposeful. We just adrift.
We just don't understand what their rationale is. Yeah.
You know, I say we need to do some, just be producing. We have a lot of possibility. Like, especially for the Caribbean, we need to be the trailblazers for the Caribbean. People, we need to become the hub, the mecca. People from the Caribbean policies and design.
We start with nations type valuing thing. What we can create and creating what we value.
Mm.
That's where we start with that principle. I think the issue is not technical, it's cultural. And because it's cultural, we cannot produce policy that properly approaches, let alone addresses, the situation. It's definitely cultural. We don't believe we create anything of value, and many of us don't want to create what we can. They rather go abroad and live a bigger, broader life.
I know we have a private institution that is producing corals, like putting corals to grow.
Growing, yeah, right. Yes. They have a coral.
And I see Atlantis now doing that also. Why isn't the University of the Bahamas have a concept? We say, hey, come here. Our government paying for this because coral, the coral reef is important to us. Therefore, our money is being placed there.
I fear that because we have more dollars than cents, we haven't realized the true value of the project.
And they keep on talking about conch shortage. Why again is the University of the Bahamas spearheading some kind of plan to say, hey, we have a small conch conservation here, but we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much for Aaron Green. I just want to think big, dream big, and do big things. It's the Bahamas, man. You know, the question was asked, if we had a chance to have a united Caribbean nation, who should become the president? I said, that person has to be a Bahamian, or I don't want to participate in it at all.
Guardian That's Radio. How plantations work. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just got
Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
I'm sorry. I got